Today I'm chatting with Frank Black, stock market performer. Frank, how's it? Thanks for joining us in studio.
Good day.
So what we're really looking at, I mean, we weren't going to talk any particulars. We've had, 2 weeks of holidays and stuff, so not a heck of a lot been happening. Figured really what we wanted to drill ourselves into was, let's look at the bigger picture. And I think the place to start perhaps was it last week, or in fact it was 2 weeks ago, Standard & Poor's came out and gave the U.S., still got their AAA rating, but said that the future is negative.
Yes, they're negative. Their debt has been downgraded to negative, which is the first time it's happened in 70 years. So it's quite a big deal.
And this is, the U.S., as much as China's on the rise and emerging markets and everything else, this global economy is still the U.S. They're still around 25% of global economic activity.
That's right. But this is a future-looking thing, and it's gone from stable to negative, and it's basically based on their failure to tackle their soaring budget deficit and all those kind of problems, and also potential problems of contagion or knock-on from Europe. So Standard & Poor's are seeing something that a lot of the rest of the market is not seeing, because the market's been just, the market, that was like the first shot fired across the bow, sort of warning that things are looking rough. And the S&P and the US markets have just been going up and up and up since then. They took a smack on the announcement, but then quickly recovered and have since been going up and up. And there's actually there's a mismatch between the S&P 500 and US GDP. The S&P is going up like it thinks there's no tomorrow, and GDP is actually going the other way.
Yeah, you sent me an interesting chart, and it's probably one of the simplest ones I've ever seen. It shows US GDP, and it marks the point where QE2 started, and at the same time, GDP in the US started coming down. That number we had recently was not a pretty number, 1.8.
No, it was 1.8, yeah. When QE2 started, quantitative easing version 2 started, American GDP was at 3.2, then the next quarter it came down to 2.8, and now it's down to 1.8. So that's painting a picture of downward stepping. It's actually stepping downward. So GDP is not in, we still have growth. 1.8 is still growth.
Yeah, in the right direction.
So there's still, but it's the overall picture, it's the direction. That's the problem. The direction is stepping down, 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 down.
And the bad news flowing through. And then you also sent me the VIX chart, which is that fear index.
Yeah.
And as you've always said, when it's low, go. When it's high, buy. You actually also overlaid it over ours. But it's back at those record low levels.
It's back at the record low levels, yes. Now, the VIX operates also as a contrarian indicator. So when it's high, that's indicating that there's maximum fear in the market. That's normally the time to buy. That's when everybody's running for the hills. When it's low, that means there's complacency in the market, and and there's no fear at all in the market, and that's normally the time when the market starts turning.
And there
down.
Should be fear. I mean, we've talked
and that's
about,
where we are right now.
We've talked about GDP. Yeah. We've talked about Standard & Poor. Some fear wouldn't be a bad thing, perhaps.
Yeah, but it's as a contrarian indicator, it's pointing towards a soon coming downturn. And the VIX doesn't act to the day as the contrarian indicator, but it acts quite quickly, within a few weeks or so. So it looks like we could be in for the beginning of a downturn.
And it is also indicating, you're saying it also works on our overall market, on the Aussie, which is and suggesting there as well.
Yeah.
As you said, not necessarily panic, but if you're seeing places to take profit, maybe not a bad idea.
Sure. It's more a selling time than a buying time generally, but again, from a long-term perspective, I wouldn't be, selling out and heading for the hills. It works on the JSE as well, simply because the JSE follows the US markets in terms of the turning points, not in the amplitude of the moves, but in the turning points. It follows quite closely.
What about Osama bin Laden, caught and killed on Monday? We're recording this on Tuesday to go out first thing Wednesday. It gave a bit of inspiration to the market, and then it kind of gave it up. Is that going to have an impact anywhere?
I think it's going to have a huge impact, not so much on the fact that bin Laden is now toast, but on the fact that what's going to come. There's going to be a lot of retaliation.
We've already seen what's left of Al-Qaeda threatening.
Yes, so it's most probably going to lead to a lot more activity, Islamic fundamentalism, extremist activity. In the Middle East, which is already unstable. We've already got the Gaddafi about to become toast.
That then brings it to the oil price.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing here is it's beginning to polarize into a situation of NATO and the West and the Islamic world, and as it begins to polarize, it becomes a lot more dangerous, and this is where the oil price comes under pressure. I've got a very interesting graph. I should have sent it to you as well, which shows how the oil price, especially when it spikes, is directly related to recession and how quickly afterwards recession happens. Obviously not if it spikes just in a few days or so, mm-hmm. but if it spikes higher and stays high, the oil price is a direct contributor to recession. Now, the problem at the moment is that the oil price doesn't look like it's going to come down in a hurry.
It hit 100, and I think temporary. Now it's floating around the 120.
Yeah, and because of the pressures that we have, and the pressures are growing. They're not diminishing. They're growing. Because of these growing pressures, the oil price is going to stay high. So with these forecasts, future-looking forecasts, China also forecasts to start slowing down a little bit in the next little while. With a rising oil price like this, it's just going to throw a cat amongst the pigeons. It's going to make the situation a lot worse. So it looks like, you know, I'm not saying double dip recession, here we come yet, but that's the direction that, you know, we're put it this way, we're in a dangerous world, in a world that's looking increasingly scary. The markets are not reacting at the moment to it, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But
sooner or later, the markets have to look at what's happening out there and take cognizant
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
A quick touch on U.S. earnings season. We're still running through that. I know we used to touch on that. The expectations have always been fairly tough. Certainly, the market was looking. How's earnings season been?
The earnings season's been good so far. We've had a lot of positive surprises, which has been good. But that's historic. That's the last season. Right now we're going into a period of general slowdown. The second half of the year is always slower in terms of economic activity, just historically,
mm-hmm.
until November, December, things start hitting up. So we're entering now into a period of general sort of slowdown anyway. So it's the next quarter of earnings that's going to be important. And some of the guidance that's coming out from a lot of the S&P 500 companies is, you know, they're saying the future is uncertain to down. So, you know, with markets being forward-looking as they are, you know, it's... I think we're in for
the market. We mentioned QE2, which yeah. ends in June. The question yeah. then is, will there be a QE3? And if there is, then the S&P, Standard & Poor's, isn't happy. Mm. If there isn't, these folks who are giving more bearish guidelines, I mean, it suddenly means that all that money that's been sloshing around disappears.
Yeah. At the moment, the consensus is that there's not going to be QE3.
Yeah.
If things get significantly worse in the next little while up to the end of June, then, you know, Bernanke and co may change their minds. But at the moment, the general consensus is that QE2 ends 30th of June. That's it. If that happens, the markets are going to be struggling for something to sort of cling on to, because the quantitative easing program, like it or not, has helped the markets. You know, I'm personally yeah. not really happy with the. I don't like the thing. I prefer to just let things happen and work themselves out, because QE brings its own problems further down the line as well, in terms of debt. But the US just seems to not care at all about debt. You know, I mean, their debt levels are just going through the roof.
And what of Japan? I mean, Japan is now the third biggest economy. China overtook it earlier this year. It's still a significant economy, and I mean that earthquake has significantly hurt it. There's all sorts of stories flowing around that bringing yet more risk. I mean, so far, we've been talking risk all the time.
Yeah, risk in Japan, I mean, after the earthquake, the Nikkei took a smack. But you know what? The Nikkei's just shot up through the 10,000 mark like a rocket. So the Nikkei at the moment is doing very well. The Nikkei is looking to the future. The Nikkei is saying, it's saying that the reconstruction effort the building and construction and just everything else that's going to come into place as a result of the earthquake is going to push their GDP higher and is going to help them in the long term rather than be a negative.
Where they're going to get the money is another question.
That's another question. But you see, as I'm saying, markets are forward looking. So the Nikkei, I mean, Japan's still in trouble right now. But what it's saying is shooting up through the 10,000 mark. It's saying that, listen, in the near future, we're going to have much better times with all the reconstruction effort.
With that all in mind, Japan might have something there, but the rest of the world certainly looks gloomy. The US looks very gloomy. Our market is giving some sell signals, double tops, as you said. VIX at those lows is correlated with our market pulling back in the past. You always traditionally throw out some stocks worth looking at. Anything on your radar?
Firstly, can I just go back to the Nikkei? The world doesn't follow the Nikkei. The world follows the US markets.
So the Nikkei can go off
and
to 10,000.
And there's another important indicator that we need to take into consideration as well, and that's the Shanghai market, which is the main market of China, and that's in a downward trend at the moment. So that's not looking that hot right now. Shares, there's a couple of I've been going through the markets one share at a time, just page down, and there are a lot of shares that are looking very good, but many of them are starting to look a little bit toppy as well at the moment. One that's looking very good at the moment is Coronation Fund Managers. That's up 360% in the last 2.5 years. Currently at around about 18.75 rand. It's on a PE price earnings ratio of 13, which is quite easily sustainable. Earnings for the half year to March that have just come out, EPS was up from 65 to 138, and dividend from 50 to 127. It's on a dividend yield of 10.
They're on a chunky dividend.
And this is a nice company to nice share to buy for the long term. It's looking pretty hot. And the other one that I really like is Pinnacle Technologies, Pinnacle Micro, not Pinnacle Point.
Not Pinnacle Construction.
Yeah, no, not
Pinnacle Point,
yeah,
that golf course. Yeah,
no,
the
not that one. This is Pinnacle Tech. This share, let me find those stats for you. Pinnacle, in the last 10 years, is up 23,000%, gone from 3 cents to 700 cents in the last 10 years. But I mean, who's going to buy it at 3 cents?
Yeah, and you might have sold it at back, and you would have done brilliant.
The point is, I mean, there are some shares where you can make an absolute killing in the market, and that's what I love about the stock market, is there's always opportunities if you seek them out. Pinnacle at the moment sitting on a price earnings ratio of only 10. I mean, 7, sorry, of only 7. And it's up 400% in the last 2 years alone. It's been under cautionary. I think they've now just completed the acquisition of a company called X's. Mm-hmm. They've got all sorts of new products coming and expansion going here, there, and everywhere. So Pinnacle's looking good, even though it's run so hard already. It's at its highs at the moment. I think on a price earnings ratio of 7, it's undervalued. So those two are looking
pretty
good.
Pretty cool, Coronation.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Frank Black, you find him at stockmarketperformer.co.za. Frank, as always, great chatting. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Simon Brown, and you've been listening to JC Direct, brought to you by maudstreet.com.